The Colosseum. Stop 1. Welcome to the largest amphitheatre on Earth. In front of you stands the legacy of the most awesome empire the world had ever seen. You'll have pre-booked tickets, and so you'll be taking the fast-track entrance into the building, passing all the other people who'll be queuing for hours. Look at your audio tour maps of the Colosseum. When you've gone through the baggage checks, follow the route round as far as you can, ignoring any other signs. And when you get to the very end, you'll be by an elevator and some huge stairs going up. Now pause the audio and start it again when you're at the bottom of those stairs by the elevator. I'll see you there. OK, listen up. Here are three very important bits of advice when doing our audio tour of the Colosseum. 1. Always keep your eyes and ears open. Look out for steps and for uneven floors. 2. Never listen to the audio while going up or down the stairs. They're steep and uneven, and you need to concentrate. Use the handrails provided. 3. Sometimes they close off the paths round the Colosseum for maintenance. When this happens, follow the new route and make your way to the next audio point on the map and pick it up from there. If that's not possible, just play the audio from wherever possible and follow the route permitted. You can always move forward or backwards through the audio like you might do with a music track. Oh, and don't worry, you can't get lost. So, brace yourselves for a hefty stair climb now, and when you get to the top, follow the route through the exhibition until you emerge into the huge open arena, and then, using your maps, make your way to Stop 2, the viewing platform. The maps are really helpful in here. Use them. OK, I'll see you there at the top. Stop 2, the Colosseum. Why is it here? OK, you should be in the viewing area at Stop 2 on your maps, OK? Before I say anything else, just take a moment to look around you. Absorb the sheer scale of this place and realise you're standing in the biggest amphitheatre in the world, where once 70,000 people would have surrounded you. The Romans came here to watch the most gruesome shows on earth. Get some pictures while you're here, because it's time to move on just a little bit. Listen up, here we go. I want you to head out of the viewing area and, keeping the arena on your right, walk a very short distance until you get to the railings which are on your right. Stop there where you can see everything. Now, pause your audio and start it again when you're by the railings. OK, look around you while I'm talking. So, a big question to start with. Why is it here? Why was this place ever built? Well, Rome used to be run by emperors who had enormous power. We have to go back almost 2,000 years to find that the Emperor Nero was in charge at the time and had decided to fence off all the land around here for himself and build a huge palace just on the nearby hills and also a massive lake, which is where we are now. All this was for his personal pleasure and use. When he died nearly 2,000 years ago, many of his projects were unfinished, and the next emperor to come along, a man called Vespasian, realised he could make himself very popular with the local people if he returned this land which Nero had fenced off back to the people. And that's exactly what he did. And to go the extra mile, he decided to build this place, the Colosseum, to give everyone the most spectacular entertainment centre the world had ever seen. And almost 2,000 years later, you're standing in it. It took just 10 years to build. It's made of nearly 1 million tonnes of stone and brick and concrete, and about 100,000 people were used as builders. The opening celebrations were spectacular beyond belief. They lasted 100 days. Mock sea battles, animal hunts, executions, reenactments of famous battles, huge dramas. All these shows ensured the place was packed. We're told that 9,000 wild animals were killed during these opening celebrations, and that the stadium held between 50,000 and 80,000 spectators. Since then, it has gradually been plundered and robbed by popes and engineers over the centuries to build churches and palaces and bridges in Rome. So what you're looking at is really just the skeleton of what was once here. It must have looked fantastic, clad in a white travertine stone like a marble, but most of that has been taken. Now, can you see lots of holes in most of the stone blocks around you? They're everywhere. Well, they are the holes left from where huge clips, like giant staples, held the stones together. But they too have since been robbed and melted down. Below you was the stage, the arena. Can you see that at the right-hand end here, they've rebuilt a section to give you an idea of what it was like? It was originally made of wood and covered in sand, and they used sand because it soaked up the blood. And there was a lot of blood spilt here during the day's entertainments, believe me. And why is it called a Colosseum? Well, outside the Colosseum was a huge 100-foot-high bronze statue of Nero, which got remodelled over the years with the heads of succeeding emperors. It was truly enormous and was called Colossus, which is where we get the word colossal for something that's huge. Anyway, this building eventually became named after the statue, the Colossus Seum, and you could see him from a very long way away. It's all right, that's the only attempt at a joke today. Right, let's move on. It's stop three next. Stop three, the Colosseum. How did it all work? Directions to stop three. I'd like you to walk on, following the railings, keeping the arena on your right, until you see a small sign on the wall on your left. It has a picture of some headphones and the number 2. The number corresponds to a different guide, not ours, so don't worry about it being numbered 2, OK? Take more photos if you want, and I'll see you at stop 3 on your maps. Now pause the audio. OK, we get a good view from here of the whole place. You're roughly looking north. Look down into the centre of the arena, where all that warren of brickwork tunnels and rooms has been exposed. When a show was on here, as we've said, there was a huge sand-covered floor which stretched over all of these tunnels. Look carefully at some of the brick structures down there and you'll see what look like empty elevator shafts. Can you find any? Well, that's exactly what they were. In order for animals and fighters to arrive in the arena in a spectacular style, they were quickly hoisted up those shafts from cages below, and they'd burst through the sand-covered trapdoors to appear as if by magic in the ring. Teams of slaves pulled frantically on ropes and pulleys to make the system work, and the crowds would go wild. One minute there was nothing. The next minute, two gladiators were facing each other in the hot sun, ready to do battle to the death. And then, magically, two lions appeared through the sand to do battle with the gladiators. The Romans had seen nothing like it. And overseeing the games, more often than not, was the emperor himself. He wanted to please his people, and they wanted to please him. It was an interesting balance of power, and it connected the emperor with his people by providing distraction from the political problems that made their lives more miserable. See, he was kind of buying their favour. Do politicians today still do that a bit? Well, look at the sides down there in the pit and you'll see long passage sections. Can you see them? They were used to store the scenery for the more elaborate shows. And look to the right down there where the stage has been rebuilt. Beneath that was a tunnel heading directly to the gladiators' barracks. They would walk around the edge of the stage and stop to pay their respects to the emperor, who sat in a special arena just below us here. "Hail Caesar," they would say. "Those who are about to die salute you." But more of their battles later. Now look around you at the seating. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? What did it cost to get in? Well, nothing. It was completely free. These huge, spectacular shows were free to watch. The only thing you needed was a ticket. They were made of bits of broken pottery, and they were given to you on the way in. And just like today, your ticket had a number which matched the number on your seat. There was also an entrance number on it too, as there were 76 entrances, so the place could be emptied quickly and safely in an emergency. Where a person sat in the Colosseum and the style of dress worn marked out immediately to fellow Roman citizens precisely their position in Roman social society. The more important you were, the nearer the front you sat. The cheapest seats were right up there at the top. So, across from us is where the emperors are supposed to have sat. To the left, the entrance down there was for the gladiators to come in through and process around the arena before they fought, while they still had legs. They went out, dead or alive, through a tunnel that went under the stage to the right. It's a lot to take on, isn't it? Okay, we're going to move on. It's point four on your map. Stop four, the Valley of the Colosseum. Directions to stop four. Look at your maps while I give you these directions. Follow the trail around until you can leave the auditorium by going left where you see a sign saying stairs to level one. Then having turned left here, walk ahead to the railings where you'll be looking over to the Forum and Palatine Hill. I'll see you by the railings there. Check your maps for the exact stopping place for stop four. Now pause your audio. Hi, well here you are by the railings and looking out of the amphitheatre into what's called the Valley of the Colosseum. Across from you, you're looking into the remains of the largest temple ever built in Rome. It's called the Temple of Venus and Rome. And would you believe it? It was used as a car park until the 1980s. It was commissioned and designed by an emperor called Hadrian in the 2nd century. When he was having it built, he asked a well-known architect of the time what he thought of the design. The architect said the temple was too low. "If the goddesses inside here wish to get up and go out, they'll be unable to do so." Hadrian was so angry with this rather stupid remark, he had the architect put to death. When they were restoring the temple a few years ago, they found traces of the original gold leaf in those recesses that were above the now missing statues. But why did the ancient Romans build temples? I mean, what were they really for? Well, the Romans believed in gods, lots of gods. Their gods were a bit like people, but with magical powers, and each god or goddess looked after different things. So Neptune was the god of the sea, Mars the god of war, Venus the god of love, for example. The Romans built these temples as places where they could worship their gods, a bit like we do today with churches and synagogues and mosques, but with a few differences. The Romans used to make sacrifices to their gods, usually animals, and sometimes an emperor would say he was a god, so people would bring him gifts or make sacrifices to him. Okay, look back at that temple. It largely consisted of two huge chambers back to back, each one with a huge statue of a god in it. And that's what you can see, the remains of one of the chambers with its stunning domed roof. Behind it was a similar chamber facing the other way. Now look to the left. Can you see a huge white marble arch out there? That's the Arch of Constantine. What's that all about? Well, it was built, like many arches, to commemorate a huge military battle. And this one was to mark the victory of Constantine over his co-emperor Maxentius. It spans the road called the Via Triumphalis. That was the main route the emperors used when they entered the city in triumph. Can you see it? Stretching through and away from the arch. At the other end there is the Circus Maximus, which was a huge sports stadium used by the Romans for chariot racing and games a lot less bloody than the type of games that went on here in the Colosseum. The panels depicting battles and people on the arch are mainly taken from other buildings, with some of the faces actually modified to look like Constantine. I wonder if he knew that at the time. Right, back to the Colosseum. Let's get into the main arena down there, up close and personal with where the real action was, right down by the stage. That's stop five on your maps. Stop five. The Gladiators. Directions to stop five. Listen to these directions and look at your maps at the same time to get your bearings. Once you set off, though, don't look or listen to anything except where you're going. There are some steep steps down to negotiate, and you'll need to use the handrails to concentrate. Okay, turn with your backs to the temples out there and look for the signs to the bookshop. Okay? Go towards that bookshop, then pick up the signs to the right for the stairs. Go down the stairs and at the bottom go round to the left through some arches and stone fragments to find yourself walking ahead into the arena. You'll be walking the same route the gladiators walked when they entered the arena. Walk ahead as far as you can, and when you're there, you're in the arena at stop five. Now, pause your players and concentrate on those stairs. So, you did it. Here you are, standing exactly where the gladiators stood. Your fate would have been decided in the next 10 minutes. What beast would be lined up for you to fight? What other gladiators would you be pitched against? Who was the emperor? Was he known to be kind and spare fighters? Or did he spare no one? Was the sand in front of you already thick with the blood of earlier battles? Or was it fresh and clean? There's a lot to think about. And the crowds. The crowds, are they screaming for your blood or are they bored? Do they like you or do they want to see you fight to the death? You couldn't be closer to where the action was. So take a moment to look around the arena. The walls around you are dripping with history. One spectacular show was based on the fact that a whale had beached on a nearby shoreline, so they created a vast mechanical whale that was dragged into the arena here by ropes and pulleys, and when its mouth opened, 50 wild bears raced out and ran around the stage while the gladiators had to hunt them down, or be hunted. And it was no good faking your death to get out of fighting. Attendants would prod you with a red-hot poker to see if you were still alive. As we've said, animal shows were put on here in the mornings, and I don't mean a girl riding round the ring standing on the back of a pony. These would be fights between exotic animals or between men and animals. There was also an elephant that performed here that could write words in the sand with its trunk. So it wasn't all a bloodbath. But it was the gladiators that people had really come to see. The audience would start to get whipped up into a deafening frenzy by fanfares of trumpets and deafening drum beatings. And then the gladiators would process in, coming right past you here and into the arena. They would pay homage to the emperor, who was sitting in the imperial box about halfway around the arena on your left. There's a crucifix marking the spot. Perhaps you can see it. Winning gladiators received gold palm leaves and a lot of money. The dead losers would be dragged out of the ring by men dressed as ferrymen of the underworld into a tunnel straight ahead at the other end of the arena. If they weren't dead, the ferrymen would finish them off. This was the home to the most brutal, savage and barbaric shows on earth, and they were staged by a race that we look back on as being civilized. Right, it's time to move on to our last stop. Let's go across to look where the emperor sat. That's stop six on your maps. Stop six. Your life in their hands. Directions. Have a look at your maps while I'm talking. Take the ramp out to your right and follow the arena around, keeping it on your left until you come to a viewing area which looks right across the arena, to a similar area on the other side, marked by a large crucifix. I'll see you there at stop six. Now, pause your audio. So you're here, looking directly across the arena at the site of the Imperial Box. Today in its place we can see two short, light stone pillars with a crucifix between them. What was the Imperial Box? Well, the elevated Imperial Box was built on a platform which had stairs on one side. There were four columns which supported a canopy over it, so it was a bit like a gazebo really, the corner columns holding a tent-like covering which kept the emperor cool and shaded from the intense sunshine. There would have been richly coloured tapestries hanging over the front facing us, and flags would be fluttering in the breeze all around it and in the Imperial Box. And in there the emperor would have either reclined or sat, watching the carnage below. His power to decide the fate of the gladiators was absolute, and it all depended how the crowd was feeling. If they wanted a gladiator to be spared, if they'd taken him to their hearts, they would yell for his life to be spared. The emperor then played a little game with the crowds while he made them wait to see if he agreed with them. Well, usually in order to remain popular with the masses, he did agree. There's a myth that emperors used to give the thumbs up to spare a life and thumbs down to end it. Well, in fact, they held their hand open and flat, and if they did that, it meant they would spare the life. If they gave a closed hand, like a fist, it meant kill him. If a gladiator killed his opponent before the emperor gave his permission, the gladiator would be put on trial for murder, as only the emperor had the right to condemn a man to death. So, have a good look around the Colosseum, because we've come to the end of our tour. Imperial boxes were placed so that emperors could leave the building quickly and easily. And some people believe that where we're standing now was quite possibly the site of the Imperial Box. And had it been, then the exit out is very near, because all you have to do is turn around and leave the auditorium here, and you'll find yourself heading out through a short tunnel to the outside of the Colosseum. So just check that there's nothing else you want to see, because you won't be able to get back in without all that queuing. If you're staying to look at some of the exhibitions or take some more photos, then enjoy yourselves. There are also some good books and souvenir shops to visit in here too. But if you're leaving, then just turn and go. And thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you found it interesting and not too gory and bloody. Have a good day and goodbye.